Hi, welcome back to my blog. Subscribe here on Channel 9. Today I'm going to continue my series. This is part two of how to get started with Service Bus. Today I'll show you the Visual Studio tooling, how to get at that tooling for Service Bus, and then also we'll talk about how you can interact with the namespace from within Visual Studio using that tooling, and also programmatically using our API, with the anchor being the namespace manager that sits in the Microsoft.ServiceBus namespace. So I'll show you all those things. The video is about 19 minutes, so let's get going.
To get started with developing applications that take advantage of ServiceBus, you have a range of choices. There are a range of choices of platforms for which we have ServiceBus clients. I'm going to start with the most common one for developers who are building applications on the Microsoft platform, and that's the .NET SDK. So how do we add? So I'm in the Windows Azure portal in the developer section, in the .NET section, and the first thing we have here is the installation of the SDK. The newest bits for Service Bus are in the SDK, and the SDK also contains the tool, so you can install that very easily from the portal. Either if you have Visual Studio 2010 or if you have the new Visual Studio 2012, you can go and install that very easily. And what that does is it will open the web platform installer, and the web platform installer will load all the necessary dependencies. It will check whether what you have installed and what you don't have installed. Obviously, on my machine, I already have the necessary SDKs installed, because I want to show you that in Visual Studio. But it will go and install the latest Windows Azure SDK, which will bring a large number of individual dependencies, all the libraries, all the packages you can otherwise individually install. So when we switch to Visual Studio, what that will do is it will install, in addition to the libraries that you need to build applications, it will also install tools, and they live in the Server Explorer. So you see Windows Azure Compute, you see Windows Azure Service Bus, Storage, Virtual Machines. The first thing you'll do here, and this is new in the tooling that we have for Service Bus in the SDK version 1.8, which was released a few weeks ago, is if you add a connection, it actually pops up this wonderful new dialog. And you can either manually enter your credentials. This works with the Windows Azure Service Bus, so with our service, and also with Service Bus for Windows Server. So it's one tool set now. But the easiest way is to go and simply use your subscription. For that, you can use the publish settings, and you will download the publish settings, the general publish settings for Windows Azure. And you download them into your environment, so you can do this also through here. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask for my publish settings. I'm getting logged in, and here are my publish settings. So now I'm going to go and save those, and those have now been saved. I actually already downloaded a previous copy, and now I can go and go back into Visual Studio and import them from my downloads directory. So here's what I just imported. And so after a quick moment, now my subscription will show up, and my active namespaces, I have one active namespace here, will show up. And it actually shows me already the connection string that is associated with this, including my owner key, my root account effectively, and my shared secret for this. And that I can say okay. So now I actually chose that namespace to look at. And it already shows me my queues and my topics that I have. So I have two queues. I have a topic, and that topic actually has already a subscription, and there are rules on that subscription, and that's the default rule on that subscription. And I can go and take a look at the properties of the individual entities in the properties window. So here I have a filter. I create that filter with an application that I will show you in a following segment. That's the Service Bus Explorer. But you can effectively see all the things you have on topics or queues, the messaging entities in Service Bus. And as you can see, if I go and navigate to the queue, you see all the things that are sitting in here, and you also see that letter message count. You see the duplicate detection, history, time, window. So there's a lot of status that you can see about the individual queues. What those things mean are we're going to get to at a later point in time as we're exploring the API. So you get a fairly good overview over your individual namespaces. You can add more namespaces. You can add connections here. If I had more namespaces, you can't create namespaces through the Explorer here. For that, you have to go to the portal, but all other activities you can go and do straight through the Explorer. For instance, you can create new queues. So I can create a new queue called, let's say, test. You can also give a description. That's also a new feature we have in the 1.8 SDK. And then you can go and set your queue size. Or you can always choose up to use the maximum size, which is right now 5 gigabytes. And then you can go and tune the parameters. As I said, we're going to get to the parameters over time. And then save, and that will go and create yourself a new queue. That experience is fairly similar, actually, in how you handle those things to what we have for MSMQ. MSMQ also sits in the servers node. I'm not going to go and expand that now, you also have that kind of an experience. What we don't have yet, what we have is a way to go and to send a test message. So you can go and send a message. So now that message, which you don't control, has been sent, and you can see that the message count is 1. And you can also go and receive that test message. So now now the message count is 0. So you can interact with that queue. The one thing that we don't allow, and that's different to the MSMQ tooling, and that's something that we will add in the near future, is browsing. So you can't see the individual messages. You can't iterate through the individual messages which are currently in the queue using the tooling, because the baseline feature, the underlying feature, is not there yet. And you can also, through the tooling, go and update settings. There's a number of settings. You can't update the name, but you can update a number of settings in the queue. You can change the lock duration. You can't set the default time to live. You can't alter the size of the queue or the duplicate detection of the sessions. Those are create time properties. We can't alter them. We can't do that on the fly. But the other things you can modify and then update, and those become then effective on that queue. So that's the basic tooling that we have. So that's helping you to interact and create resources as you are doing work in Visual Studio. So you don't have to go and switch back and forth between here and the portal. You can actually go and inspect all those things, and you can actually go and create new rules. You can go and create new subscriptions. You can create new topics. What you can't create, and that's similar to the portal, is you can't create new relays, because relays are ephemeral resources, and relays are being created only using the API. So the API is a good that's a good segue into showing you how that works. So I'm going to go and create a project, and I'm going to create a simple console application. Here, and it's a good place to start. We're server people, so we're not good with UIs. At least I am. And so I'm gonna add this now. With this, I have a normal console app. The console app is. Let's go and take a look at the properties. In Visual Studio 2010, if you use this, where the tooling is looks the same, you will have the target framework as the .NET framework for client profile. Luckily for us server people, the client profile went away in 4.5, so there's now only 1, so you don't have to go and do that switch. But if you're in Visual Studio 2010, you actually have to go and switch from the client profile to the normal full framework if you want to use Service Bus in the context of a console app, or if you use want to use the relay, because we're requiring so-called server features. But the .NET Framework 4.5, which is, for me personally, is the cloud, the first true cloud version of the .NET Framework with its async support, that you don't have to do that anymore. So now the question is, how do we get the right references into our application? There's a reference here, obviously, for all the basic things that you need to do. But how do we get those? Well, we could add a service reference and find the respective directory for the SDK. What I like to do is I actually like to use NuGet and then go and search for Windows Azure.ServiceBus, which will bring the package, and that will also tell you when there are updates, and if there are updates, it will go and prompt you to update the references if you like to into your application. So this has the Windows Azure Configuration Manager kind of chained to it, so I can go and accept all the conditions, and it will go and now resolve the dependencies, get all the bits into my solution. So now I have all those things, everything that I need to interact with ServiceBus, the main ServiceBus assembly in my app. So having that, I can go and add a reference up here to using Microsoft.ServiceBus. And then I can start interacting with ServiceBus. We're not going to go do much. We're simply going to do something similar to what we have here in the corner. How do we interact with the namespace in ServiceBus? The way you do this is you create a new namespace manager. There it is. And you can create the namespace manager based on a URI at the namespace manager settings. The namespace manager, so there's a number of ways how you can go and configure this one. There's also a factory method. And since we have a connection string in hands, you can go and create this from the connection string and then go and supply this. And I could put this into config, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in here and take a look at the properties over here. Here's my connection string up here over in the corner. So I'm going to use those, the tooling. I'm not going to put this into config, but I'm going to put this straight in here. So now I have a namespace manager for my namespace. The namespace manager is there to give me information about my namespace, so I can go into get information, I can get all the queues, and you see all the begin methods. We have a heavy bias towards async programming. We like async programming a lot. That's another topic that I should probably cover in a future segment. Let's go and do it synchronously, go and get the queues. So now I'm going to get all the queues that I have and make them in an enumeration. So I will say for each queue in, I deleted that, so that's very smart, in nsm.getQueues, and then we're going to go into console.writeLine, preferably in the right place. We're going to do console.writeLine on that particular queue, and then we're going to go into simply take the path of that queue and then print that out. And there it is. So let's see what happens. Control F5, going to run this. And here you have all the queues that you see here. So the namespace manager gives you a wonderful way to go and interact with the namespace. It can allow you to get at things. It allows you to probe for things like queue exists and subscription exists. And then obviously also to update existing objects or create new objects. Creating a new object, if you want to go and create a new queue, there's multiple ways. You can go and do a simple create. So I can go and make a new queue like this, and that will accept all the defaults. Or I can make it slightly more sophisticated and create a queue description, and the queue description gives me access to all the things I need to. So there's a minimum set of parameters that I need to supply. The path is required. So we're taking that here as a required parameter. So let's say a new queue. Now with the queue description, you can go and set all the different parameters that we have. So you can set the authorization policy, you set the default message time to live, you can set all these different parameters as you create them. So that's similar to the dialogue we have in the Explorer here and also on the portal. And there are some new features like forward to, which I'm also going to discuss in a future segment in more detail, where you, for instance, can go and set up a store and forward model where the data is not pulled from the queue, but it actually forwarded to a different queue. And that's actually making more sense with subscriptions, where you can build what we call routing trees. So I just use that as an example for one of the properties you can go and set. I'm using the queue description. So queue description gives you full access. Same is true for the topic description. If you create a new topic, create topic. Again, here you can simply go and create a path and accept all the defaults, or you use the topic description and then do the same thing here. New topic description, we're requiring that you provide the path, and then after that, you can go and initialize all the properties that we have here. We can go into, say, requires duplicate detection equals true. And so you can go and then turn that on. And once you have a topic created, and say create a queue created, this is the desired description that you have. What you get out of this, the return value, is a topic description. That is the effective description. So you wish for some things, and the server goes and inspects the policy that you give to it, and then you get the effective policy, what actually happened, and with the filled out defaults, you get that return. And then on the topic description, you can go and inspect what actually was effective. If you want to go and you see and see, for instance, how many subscriptions you have at this point, so all the metadata that is then filled out by the server, read-only information, that you can't set but can only read, that's something that you can go and find out then. On the namespace manager itself, if you want to create a subscription, then you go and do that here, and you define the topic path. Now the topic path now comes out of the topic, and with that you can now go and create a new subscription. Again, you can provide a subscription, further information, you can go and create a rule description, you can add a filter, all things that we're going to discuss as we're talking about topics and subscription in more detail. I just want to give you a quick tour of the equivalents that we have for the portal once in Visual Studio in the tooling, and then in with the namespace manager, how you do this programmatically, and kind of give you a place to find this. So that's how you do this. In terms of whether you are using the namespace manager at runtime or whether you do this at design time, really depends on what your application does. If you have an application that's highly dynamic, you might want to create subscriptions on topics on the fly, but typically if you have queues, you have it's a foundation as much as a schema is a foundation for a database. So if you have an application which would create a schema on the fly, some applications do, then you might also create queues on the fly, but typically you go and create the layout of your namespaces at design time and then have your applications run on top of that, specifically if you're serious about security. So that much as an overview to the tooling that we have in Visual Studio and the namespace manager API as an intro that we have for you to go and manage a service bus namespace. And then also how you can go and find the necessary bits to interact through NuGet, and how you get started with installing the SDK.
Welcome back in the studio. I hope you found that interesting. In the next segment, next post, I'll talk about yet another way how to interact with Service Bus. I'm using the Service Bus Explorer. Thanks for tuning in.